afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Claire from Palo Alto. Welcome, Claire.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Claire, tell us about Reflective Listening Buddies.
Reflective Listening Buddies is a support service through the monastery, and it's a forum where people who participate in this get the opportunity to look at what's going on for them and share what's going on for them in a really safe way.
Uh-huh. So you're paired up with somebody, and it's a safe environment for example, for me to talk about what I'm seeing in my practice.
Yeah, exactly. The way it works is that, so I enroll in the program, and then I'm paired up with somebody else who's enrolled in the program. We get a bit of training beforehand. And I don't know this other person that I'm paired up with. And we arrange a call time. We talk to each other on the phone. And it's a place where I can really get in touch with my heart. It's a time just for me to look at what's going on for me. And I find that I often benefit with great insights from this time to really look at what's going on with me.
So there's another person in the Sangha that you're paired up with, and this is a phone conversation, your buddy. And you set a time once a week, and you get together, and it sounds like you have a chance to talk about what you're seeing in your practice and share that and have that reflected back to you.
Exactly.
Great. So what is the reflective listening piece of the program? Because that's in the title, so I'm guessing that that's an important part of the program.
So what happens in reflective listening is that I talk about what I'm seeing, what's going on for me, and then my partner simply reflects back what I'm saying. They don't give me any advice or offer their experience about what I'm talking about. They just simply say back to me what I'm saying. And my experience is that I get to look even deeper at what it is that I'm addressing.
Uh-huh. So your experience is that you get to look even deeper at what you're addressing. And I notice I'm reflecting as I'm talking with you right now. So I'm wondering if we might be able to do a little example of this.
Absolutely.
Great. Can I talk? Because I have a lot going on.
Sure.
Okay, great. So I got some information at work today. I received an email, and I noticed that immediately I was getting information from conditioning that I was a failure, that there was something wrong.
So you received an email at work today, and you noticed that upon receiving this email, you got information from conditioning that you were a failure and that something was wrong.
Yeah, and fortunately, I'm really grateful. I'm grateful for awareness practice, always. And in this moment, I had a sense of what was going on, and I immediately took out a piece of paper and just started writing down the self-talk.
And you're really grateful for awareness practice, because fortunately, you took out a piece of paper and a pencil and immediately started writing down what was going on for you.
Yeah, it was really great. And in that way, it seemed like there was a much greater awareness, much less believing the self-talk, and a chance for it to just kind of run through my system and for me to see what was there.
And by doing this process of writing down, there's much less chance for it to, forgot your exact words, but take
it. For it to come through me.
To come through you, and you just really helped you to move away from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Claire, I'm sold. How do I sign up for this wonderful program?
Well, there's emails being sent out by the monastery with the information on how to sign up for the program. The sign-up deadlines are Tuesday, June the 30th for new or returning people, and Tuesday, July the 7th for current participants. And the length of the program is 3 months, July 15 to October 15. And it's $50, which is a real bargain. And in addition to the a reflective listening buddying, we also receive regular training and support calls and guidance from the monastery. The calls are put forward on a group basis from the monastery.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. And my experience of being in the program and being on the group calls is I really get a chance to deepen my practice and to see how what I'm doing in reflective listening is skillful or not skillful, or there are ways that I can participate. Basically ways that I can see in subtler and more subtle ways the ways in which I'm moving towards suffering or moving away from suffering.
I want to say that I find that reflective listening Buddhist to be a real commitment to myself. I schedule the time for the call with my buddy, and that time is for me to simply look at what's going on for me, which is a wonderful experience for me. And also, it's a great privilege when I get to reflect my buddy too. And I get a deep sense of gratitude for the practice and a deep sense of connection to myself and to all beings.
Great. Great. Yeah, in my experience as well, it seems like what you're pointing at is, so I make this commitment to be in this program, to show up every week for 30 minutes. So it's 30 minutes. I talk for 30 minutes, and then I'm reflected, and then we switch, and the other person talks for 15 minutes. Let me say that again. The total length of the call is 30 minutes. I speak for 15, and I get reflected back during those 15, and then we switch roles. And my experience is, as with a lot of things in practice, a key part of it is making the commitment and keeping the commitment. And it's always helpful for me when that commitment involves another person, because although conditioning would allow me to, you know, let myself out of or let myself down from a commitment to myself, when I make a commitment to another person, it's like, whoa, that's important. Now, I don't want to let that other person down. So that's, to me, that's a really helpful piece of it as well.
Yes, I really want to second that, the value of the commitment. I remember a quote, I don't know who it's by, maybe you could remind me about. We often do for others that which we really want to do for ourselves. Do you remember the quote?
I do. Let me see if I can. And Sherry will be on in a minute or two. So after we've botched it a couple of times, she can help us. So the quote is that I find myself willing to do for the love of others what I'm not willing to do for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that speaks what you're pointing at.
So I find that I'm willing to show up to be there for my buddy and to reflect my buddy. And in that process, I also get time to show up and look at myself, which is...
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful. Great. And I just wanted to mention also, we've mentioned a lot of details during our conversation here. If you go onto the homepage of the Living Compassion website, at the bottom there's some information about the Reflective Listening Buddies program. And I'm almost certain there's a email address there to email in to write in and sign up for the program. Also, an email came out from the monastery yesterday about the program. Subject heading is Reflective Listening Buddies Practice, Accepting New Participants. So all that information is there in that email talking about what we talked about here, and I believe the links to sign up are there also. So do you have anything else to add?
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk about this great program.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on the air. Thanks for joining us, Claire.
Thank you.
Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
Good. That was very fun.
Great.
Yeah, it was it was fun to listen to both of you reflecting each other. You know, after we get used to that sort of thing, it's just such an automatic kind of lovely way to interact with somebody. I thought it was good when you finally said, okay, we're actually doing it.
Yes.
You know, we can go ahead and do a little demo so that everybody knows that, you know, that we're really intending it this time. But it's just, it was just so much a part of the conversation. It was great to hear.
Yes, yes. Very fun.
And your guest has such a charming way of speaking.
Yes. Yes, she does. Yes, she does. It's wonderful. How are you doing today?
Great. It's you know, summer hits here.
Yes.
I was out in town this afternoon, and I was in a place and the radio was on, and this is like 3:30 in the afternoon, and the person on the radio says, "Well, it looks like it's going to get hot today." And I thought, "Get hot today? Where are you? What air-conditioned room are you in?" Because the first day of summer here was sweatshirt weather.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's been basically that way all spring. It's been just glorious, cold, you know, cool nights, and then perfect temperatures during the day, and then all of a sudden, oh right, this is what summer in the foothills of California is like. So we're there. We've arrived.
You've arrived.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And yourself, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. You know, I was thinking as I was getting ready for the radio show today, the content of my life is so full and so busy that it's a real blessing. It's a real blessing because there's less room to be engaged with conditioning.
It's the truth, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Being really involved with conditioned mind requires a lot of discretionary time and energy.
Yes.
And when you're going just as fast as you can possibly go all the time, you're a little bit protected.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So not to say that I don't get identified, and there's kind of a constant interruption to that identification, which is really helpful.
Yeah. Yes. And I project that you, when looking at your situation at work, I don't know if that was really true or if you just made that up.
No, it was true. I didn't have to make that up.
it was very good, but it sounded like, the other thing that you are really cognizant of at this point, you know, because something could be true and we're not really aware of it, or we're not really paying attention to it, but that you really are able to use the tools of your practice to take you through difficult situations.
Yeah.
And that's the other piece. Not only being so busy, having all kinds of people at work and that sort of thing, and then you get home and there are little kids, and it's all going full tilt, and that can keep us engaged and present and here. And then when something sneaks up on us, to have those tools and techniques that we can turn to recognize what's going on and address it, and then let ourselves get right back here again.
Yes, yes. Because it was probably less than half an hour or an hour after I received that information that I was like, oh, of course. Well, that makes sense, and it doesn't mean everything that I thought it meant. And
right.
Amazing.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And I can still breathe, and the odds are good I'm going to survive this. And and now who needs help?
Yeah.
Who needs assistance here?
Yes, yes. And the other thing I've realized that has been really helpful is not to be afraid of that level of sort of busyness or content, that I can just relax into that busyness.
Yeah.
And whatever doesn't get done, it doesn't get done.
Yes.
And I can, because before there was a lot of, there was much more anxiety about being at that level of busyness.
You're right, which means that your chances of not being effective are really increased. Right? But it's like so many things. I think about, you know, our yoga teacher who's a juggler, and says that the secret to juggling is that you have to be really present, really relaxed, not actually looking directly at what's going on, but kind of letting your eyes go soft so that you can see a pattern and movement without getting caught up so in the details that you let the self-consciousness come in and you start making mistakes. And I think, well, that's just a perfect description of how we can be in life.
Yes.
And we have that safety net of tomorrow.
Yes, indeed.
Do we have any callers?
We have. They're going off the end of my screen here, Sherry.
Oh, aren't they good?
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, first caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Angela, and I'm calling from Korea.
Well, good morning, afternoon, or evening, as Truman would say.
It's good morning here.
Good morning to you, then.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I just had an interview with Melinda about the August retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And so I'm talking to everybody from the monastery this morning.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, we're just going to all enjoy it then.
Yes. Good.
So you're getting ready to make quite an ambitious trip across the world.
Yes, that's right. Yes, I'll be back in North America for 1 month.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah. I called early and it worked.
I know Michael keeps giving that advice, and then you find out, oh, he wasn't just trying to
whistling Dixie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what's going on in your world there this morning?
Well, let's see. How can I sum this up? I'm having a family thing happening.
Uh-huh.
And I have 5 brothers, and I'm the oldest. And
oh, bless your heart. Let's just stop and all take that in for just a moment. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, what an active childhood
yeah.
that must have been.
Yeah, there were 6, and
wow.
one passed away. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And so now
yeah.
the family is gathering.
Yeah. So my mother passed away last summer, and we decided at that time that we would have a memorial camping trip and take her ashes. She was an avid camper, and near where you are up in at Davis is
oh,
where
uh-huh.
she liked to go.
Uh-huh.
And so we planned this and for July 4th for my brother's birthday. And anyway, I can see I'm going to just gobble up time here with all these details. But what's important is the retreat fell on the same week as the memorial mm-hmm. camping trip.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked my brothers if they would mind if we put it off for a week. And so then the emails started to fly, but basically saying things like, well, I can't come at all. Let's put it off for a year, and then kind of like that.
And
so,
did you suspect that was going to happen anyway, or this is just
no,
set off?
No.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I didn't suspect that people wanted to cancel. I just was under the assumption that it was set in stone and that
mm-hmm.
everybody was planning on coming. And so now, you know, and I've said, look, you know, if it means no one can come and it's, you know, everybody's rethinking it for next year, you know, I won't go to the retreat. I'll be there on the date that we said, and hopefully, you know, we can make this happen. Because there's a part of me that believes that if we don't do it this year, it won't happen, I think. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to be next year, number one. If
well,
I have a different...
No one knows where they're going to be next year.
Yes.
Or tomorrow, as we
yes.
well know.
Yes.
And
yes.
so what is the... What happens? Are you feeling
yeah.
anxious or kind of responsible or...
I guess... discouraged and frustrated, and speaking it often happens that when that I see the brothers as one entity instead of five different people.
And do they tend to see themselves that way, or that's your perception?
Yeah. they do often see
it's kind of the boys against the girl.
It can be. It's not so much against as they are a united. They can be a united front.
Uh-huh. And is part of that less gender than oldest?
Yeah.
And younger?
I think it, because I was older, they had a different, actually they had a different life. They were just with my mom, and I was with my mom and dad. So they were kind of a group around my mother, a tight unit, supporting her and supporting each other.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they kind of had to do a lot of things for themselves. So, you know, they just see themselves as a unit. And
so if you were to just kind of cut to the bottom line of this.
Yeah.
What is the issue? I mean, I understand if it's postponed this year, you don't think it will happen, but it sounds like there are folks who are eager for it not to happen this year.
Yes. Yeah, there are I guess
that even if you say, okay, I won't go to the retreat, that doesn't speak to the issue of they, at least some of them, aren't really committed.
Yes. And the one who lives in Iowa, he is the one who says he can't come this year, that he will come next year for sure, but he also said that he would come, if we changed it from July to August, he would come. I know this is sounding... I guess I've somehow conditioning has created a huge problem here for me.
Yes, I hear that, and I can't get a handle on exactly what it is.
Yes.
You either. It's just there's a big problem.
Yes.
When we try to kind of pin it down, it turns into jello on us and starts
yes.
oozing and sliding and.
Yes.
Uh huh.
Uh-huh.
So maybe that would be the most helpful step right now is to just see if you can get some clarity about what the issue is. You know, what is troubling about this? If you were to say, we'll postpone it until August.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then, and see what happens. Or... if people still are slip-sliding around, okay, we're going to set it up for next year and then do it with whoever shows up rather than, looking at it in terms of we have to get a full commitment from every single person and they all have to show up for this to happen. How about if we set a date and then whoever can be there, that's who participates in the ceremony for mom.
Well, okay. I conditioning is talking, and I can see where part of the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. They're saying that one brother has said if the other brother doesn't come, he doesn't want to come because he wants everyone to be there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so my conditioning is saying... And someone is feeling that this is just going to keep happening, and
mm-hmm.
I'm never going to get a chance to really grieve my mother because I can't do it when I'm in Korea.
Okay,
and so
this is helpful, isn't it? So
yes.
Conditioning has it set up that the only way you can really grieve your mother is if all these other children of hers will agree to a certain event at a certain time.
Yes.
And we can see when you hear me say it out loud that that's just downright silly, isn't it?
Yes, yes, that it would all hinge on that.
That's right, which means...
My grief
yeah,
would hinge
so,
on
so
that.
The commitment on conditioning's part, as always, is make this not work, maximize the suffering. So what, and again, I'm going to encourage you to continue to look at this. And my hope is that one of the directions that you'll explore is that you are a free agent. And you can grieve your mother in any way that feels most helpful and appropriate and honoring. And
yes.
Everybody else is going to be in that same position. They're also
yes.
going to need to make their peace with their relationship with their mother and grieving her and that sort of thing in the way that feels most beneficial to them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But grieving doesn't necessarily have to be a group activity. Especially when the grieving, it sounds like, is in danger of turning into a lot of other things. Bitterness and frustration and irritation
yes.
and anger and
yes.
a lot of divisive stuff that doesn't,
yes.
it would not, I just intuitively, being a mother myself, I
yes.
just suspect she wouldn't be excited about.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
She would not say, oh, yes, turn my loss into an opportunity for the whole family to fall apart in discord. She would not
right.
like that. Yeah. Okay? A little more clarity?
Yes. Yes, yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And
keep working on it.
One more thing, if I can say. I think, you know, it got caught up with the retreat. And, you know, I've been trying to get to this retreat for a while. And so it just looked, I couldn't tell if it
yeah.
was, you know.
That's conditioning
yeah.
specialty, isn't it? Throw as many things in the pot as possible so
yeah.
that it just becomes almost impossible to sort out what's what.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the hour, you know, Claire was on talking about reflective listening buddies with Michael. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's one of the selling points for that program is that we get to hear reflected back to us. You know, all that stuff that when it's just locked up inside our head, it seems so right and sensible and difficult. And then we start hearing it out loud. You know, we hear ourselves say it. Then we hear somebody reflect it back to us and we go, huh, that doesn't make quite as much sense when it's out there on the airwaves
yeah.
as it does
yeah.
when it's just rocking
yeah.
around in my
Roll.
Head.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes, yes,
yeah.
yes. Well, you know, I've, yeah. Okay.
All
well,
right.
I will take your advice.
Okay.
And, I will look at,
and keep
and I will,
looking at it and let us know how it comes out or what, you know, what the next stage is that you get to.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will.
All right.
I'll, okay. Good. Thank you.
Hey, I can say
yes.
Have a great day.
Oh, yeah. Because okay.
you have a whole day ahead of you and we're, you know, we're getting ready to close up shop for the evening, so.
That's right. That's
have
right. It's only
day.
Just about 9:15 in the morning.
Be there. It's
yeah.
Interesting. All right. Take care.
Thank you. Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Angela. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to take a quick sponsor break here, and then we'll be right back.
Right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have more callers here.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Carol from the UK.
Hi.
Hi. This is who?
Hi. Carol.
Carol.
Yes.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. I just had a little difficulty understanding the name.
Uh-huh.
And she's calling from the UK, Carol said.
I see. No wonder you sound so far away.
Yes.
My goodness, Korea, and now the UK. This is very exciting. I'm feeling
very nerve-wracking as well.
Very international. So what's going on in your world in the middle of the night?
Well, I've been wondering how to present it to you. Many aspects to it. Basically, I'm involved in some form of a relationship for 9 years, at nine months, rather.
It only feels like 9 years?
No. It feels very new. But, yes, basically a big part of me really enjoys the person's company. It involves dance. They're teaching me to dance. My dance partner and dance teacher, and we also have some form of relationship going on, although he says he's single, I'm single. So another part of me feels very hurt by that and feels not wanted, quite vulnerable. I wasn't wanted by my family. So it's a pattern for me. It's something I have feeling I'm familiar with, which is very, very painful. But I have a big investment I don't want to let go. But it causes me a lot of pain. And every morning for 9 months, I wake up feeling terrible and thinking of him.
Okay. So if we talk about the parts of you, are you good with that?
Yes, I've just started doing voice dialogue and subpersonalities.
Okay. All right. So you're very aware of the person who wakes up in the morning and feels bad.
Yeah, I also suffer with depression, so that's kind of a symptom of waking up and feeling bad.
Okay, so that waking up and feeling bad isn't necessarily a part of this relationship. It's just the content.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
10 months ago, you were also waking up and feeling bad, but there was no relationship to kind of tie it to.
Yes, it would have been something else.
It would have been something else. Good for you, but it would have been
there.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. And so that's not really an issue. I mean, the only thing we might have expected is a relationship might keep us from having those same feelings. Yeah? You have any belief system like that? Like, you know, if my life were perfect, I wouldn't wake up feeling bad in the morning?
Oh, definitely. And specifically if I had the right partner.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And can we both agree that that's probably not true? That nobody will actually be able to sort of save you from your issues.
That's true. I do think a big part of it is loneliness, though, for me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. But,
right.
You know, in the sense that, of what you said a little bit ago, it's always going to be something.
Yes.
Yeah. So I have these feelings. I have these sensations in my body and this orientation. I believe that these sensations in my body mean this. And so this must be tied to something. There has to be a reason for this. So it must be my relationship, it must be my job, it must be my family, it must be where I live, it must be because I don't have enough money, it must be that I'm lonely, it must be, but when we step all the way back from it, we realize, no, it's actually that I believe that chain of events or that chain of reactions. And what I mean by that specifically is if when you felt that way, it meant you were happy. Sounds ridiculous, but but if we can get past that, you know, there's nothing to there's no real truth or reality to any of it. In that way that we talk about, you know, your stomach is in a knot and your heart is pounding and your throat is dry, your mouth is dry, and your hands are clammy. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Are you really afraid or are you really excited?
Yes.
Yeah. So then it's just the event that makes us say, oh, well, I feel this way because I'm really anticipating this good time. Or, oh, mm-hmm. well, my body feels this way because I'm really afraid. Okay, I'm really afraid. What am I afraid of? And then we can watch ourselves, start scanning around. Let's see. I must be afraid because the economy is really bad, and I'm afraid that I'll lose my job. Okay, but that's not actually true. It's just a story we tell ourselves. Yeah. So, to me, for those of us blessed with depression, that's a really important place to get very, very clear about. That life circumstances are not actually going to change my reaction to life.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so enough on that depression lecture. So how about the part of you who doesn't want to let go? Who is that? What does that person say?
That person... is the one that has always wanted connection, never had any connection with anyone as a child, wanted to be a dancer, was totally isolated, and then found dance 18 months ago and found connection and fun and playfulness. And with this particular person, there's a connection in the dance that I've never experienced with anybody else.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a big thing around connection for me.
Okay.
And I really don't want to let go.
Yeah, she really does. She's getting a lot of her needs met. Yeah?
Yes, and a lot unmet.
Well, now
there's a lot of pain.
Yeah. Now let's not jump ahead though. She's getting a lot of her needs met. Okay? And there's a lot of pain associated with the relationship. So who is it who feels that?
The pain.
What's the story around that?
Around that is I'm not wanted. He doesn't want me. There's always in my life, it's a pattern that they're going to leave me for someone else. But they want someone else more than me. And that has happened repeatedly. My sister was wanted. My half-brother was wanted. And I was in the middle and I wasn't wanted. But I saw the others being wanted. And then in relationships, the people that I want someone else.
Okay. All right. Now, can you sense that that person is a very, very different person from the person who was just talking about fun and connection and dance and all of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very.
Yes, definitely.
Two dramatically, radically different people. Okay?
Yes.
So the one who wants... to be chosen, who wants to be first with somebody, would have this other person give up all of this wonderful stuff that's happening to her because the second person lives in a story about nobody ever chooses me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's what I'm thinking of doing, but don't want to do.
Which do you want to do?
No, it's exactly, it's the two warring against each other.
Oh, okay.
I feel
okay.
I want to do it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, got it. Okay. Mm. So, and it's really important that you not, I mean, assuming you want to do this, not call yourself I when you're identified with either one of them.
Okay.
Okay. So there's the you know, the dance, little fun dancing connector person. And
yeah,
there's the nobody ever puts me first person. And
yeah,
to recognize those as two people separate from you. It's not that you don't get identified with each of them. You do. Certainly you do. But it's really important to notice and know and convince yourself that they are not your authentic being.
Yes.
Okay? Now, so here's the assignment between now and the next time that we talk, okay?
Okay.
Because this is the bottom line work, however all of the rest of it goes.
Okay.
You have to choose you. If you don't put yourself first, if you don't choose you above all others, it will never matter whether somebody else tries to or not. With me?
I am, but I'm not sure what that involves. I'm not quite.
Well, this person is this, somebody else is always chosen over me person, is very invested in that story. It needs to be an external person who puts her not only ahead of everybody else, but ahead of themselves. Now, this is a lot to want from another human being. Now, she looks at her brother and sister and parents, and she says, they had this, they had that, they did that, they got that, they had that. But she wasn't living in their lives. She doesn't actually know what it felt like for them. Okay? She just looks at whatever reinforces her story. And then she lives your life as much as she can based on that story that she's maintaining. The only way out of that story is for you to choose you, to put your happiness ahead of everything else. And that doesn't mean, obviously, running roughshod over other people. But it means you take responsibility for making you happy. No longer letting somebody look outside, oh, if I had that person, oh, if only that went that, oh, if that, you know, if that would then, uh-uh. Because that's just a story made up and designed for suffering.
Right.
Can you see that?
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
I can.
And so it's as simple as, so there you are in the evening and you're home by yourself and she wants to kick in. Well, if I had a partner, if I had somebody who loved me, and what you're going to be required to do is say, whoa, wait a minute. I'm the person in charge of this life. I prefer to be with this person. And so we're going to make it a party. Okay? We are conditioned practically from the moment we come out of the womb to believe that we need something external in order to be all right. It's the biggest lie in the world. It's the fundamental cause of all suffering. And you have the opportunity to prove that to yourself. And here's the piece of it that it really is true, and at some point you're going to hopefully tell me that I was right about this. As soon as you accomplish this, you're going to practically have to get a big stick to start beating people away, because there is nothing more attractive to human beings than somebody who isn't interested in them. Can you see that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, anything about any of that? That's a big assignment.
It's a big assignment, and I'm glad I'll be able to listen to it on the archives. I'm just not quite sure how I'm going to do that within this situation. I'm
okay.
Sure it'll come clear to me.
That's right. And so everything that you would like to do for and with, receive from and offer to someone else, you give to her.
Okay.
Presents.
Okay.
Special little things. Wonderful dinners. Okay. Devote yourself.
Teach myself to dance.
Pardon me?
And teach myself to dance?
No. Go let a little fun connecting dancing girl. She's fine. She's happy, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. She doesn't have a problem with what's going on. This other person who has the problem. And it's her problem that we're going to work on resolving.
Right.
And then
it gets a bit sorry.
Oh, no, it's very confusing. Is that where you're going?
It's confusing it's confusing because I am having an intimate relationship with him.
That's right. And that's great.
But he's not committed to me.
Neither are you.
No, I'm not committed to me.
Yeah, there you go. So why should he be, really? Let's not ask him to do something that you're not doing yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? If you could just get a little glimmer of it, that's going to be the toehold, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, well, that's enough. That's enough for right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's a lot to, you know, kind of sort out and wrap your head around. But if there's one piece of it that you take away from this, and, yeah, you can listen to the archives and, you know, get clearer on the whole program. But you cannot ask someone else to give you what you're not willing to give to yourself. It's too much of a burden.
Yeah.
It really is. It's you know, God knows you're not the only person on the planet doing it. We're all in that trap of I want someone to treat me the way I don't want to treat myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too much. So you provide all of that, and then see who the candidates are to meet you at the. Well, I was going to say the 50-yard line, but that's probably not a good image. But meet you in the middle.
Okay.
All right? Let me know how it goes, huh?
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, Michael. Bye, Sherry.
Bye,
Bye Carol.
Good night.
Oh.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. A very international show so far, Sherry.
My goodness, it's so fun.
Yeah, I wonder if any Americans will call.
I don't know, but she's not she's not having Angela's great the rest of the day in front of you experience. That's very courageous of people to get up in the middle of the night to do the work. You know, it's hard enough to do it in the regular daylight hours.
Yes, it's very inspiring. And to see how practice has spread around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very fun.
Great. Sherry, we're going to take a second sponsor break here, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you swam in a river?
back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have four more callers here in about 20 minutes.
Right. I'll try not to be quite so long-winded.
Okay.
If people will commit to not being quite so interesting.
Great. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael. It's Rebecca from Texas.
Hey, Rebecca from Texas.
Hi.
Hey. I was thinking, if not the international call, you know, but our governor did want to secede from the Union, so, you know, we almost could have been our own country.
Is that right? Is this recent?
Yeah, he made a comment at a rally, really kind of pandering to the real far right, you know, and saying that he didn't think seceding would be such a bad thing to consider.
Wow. Wow.
Anyway.
Texas sandwich between Mexico and the U.S., huh?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that the rest of the country would really miss us that much. But.
Well, it's interesting because I think the governor of Georgia recently made a similar kind of statement. So maybe this
kidding.
Whole U.S. has just fallen apart.
Oh, no.
Well, what's going on in the Lone Star State, or at least in your world?
Well, I've got another kind of chapter in my workshop that I'm doing on relationships and love, and it feels very much with what's been talked about tonight. It's been wonderful hearing this. I saw something that was quite remarkable, and I wanted to see where it goes. The thing was is I was at a seminar with this person that we just broke up and a few months ago, and there was absolutely no room to make a connection. You know, it was just real cool toward, you know, we just kind of treated each other like acquaintances. And I saw this
May I interrupt here and just ask, was this on both sides, or when you got there, did you find out that was the temperature and went along with it?
The latter. Yeah, I found out it was the temperature and went along with it.
Uh-huh. Huh.
So
okay.
It was not fun. It was a very rugged time. And I had my disidentifying tool of my little notebook and pen, and every time the emotion would just start swirling, I would get out my notebook and start writing what the voices were saying. And it was just, it was such a simple, fabulous tool. But it, you know, it just kept on, and finally I just pulled myself away and looked at what's going on here, you know, and got off by myself and was really very attentive to what was happening. And what came up was I saw that there was this energy cord that I was shooting out. I was so wanting to connect to him, and it was coming kind of from my between my second and third chakra, and it felt like the self-talk around it was, I just want to connect with him, I just want to love him, and the thought just kind of popped in that maybe what I thought of love is not really what love is, you know, that this connecting to another person is what I've always identified as love, and the thought popped in, well, maybe I was mistaken about that.
Wow. There's a gift, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're talking about, the lingo here for people who aren't used to it, is courting, not C-O-U-R-T, but C-O-R-T. So we take an emotion, and we lasso another person with it, and it's kind of Star Trek-y, isn't it? So you know, this thing shoots out and attaches itself to the other person, and then it's like we have a private line to them.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Depending on how the connection is made, if two people, now I think people can probably relate to this, they're in a relationship, and one person gets upset, if those cords are in place, then they can telepathically, empathetically, well, however it is, by osmosis, send a signal that says, I'm unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And the understanding is that the other person then is supposed to do something about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And
yep.
that's what just about everybody calls love, isn't it?
Well, that feels really kind of reassuring to hear that it wasn't just my mistake. I know, I knew it on some level, of course, but the thing that has come up since then is then why does it hurt so darn much when someone else pulls the cord away?
Well, now that really makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, if if you and I are friends and something happens and I get upset with you and I say, I really don't think this friendship is working anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If you got there and said it, you would have a completely different experience, right?
Yeah.
The friendship would still be over, but it'd be your idea. It's
yeah.
what you want, right? And so
yeah.
it really comes down to, am I getting what I want or am I not getting what I want? In this case, having him remove the cord was not what you wanted. So, of course,
yeah.
it's ripping that cord out without benefit of surgical tools or anesthesia.
Yeah, yeah. And so it seems like my that line that you just told the earlier caller about, it's not fair to ask someone to give you what you're not willing to give to yourself. It's
mm-hmm.
My conditioning did not like that at all.
No, it's an ugly sentiment, isn't it? And probably wrong. Heck. Yeah.
No, I'm afraid you're right.
Again, we are conditioned from day one, before we arrive, that everything that you want and need is going to come from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the
yeah.
first people who want to convince you of that is your parents. And then it
yeah.
just extends out from there. So by the time you're looking around for a romantic partner to go through life with, of course, you're looking at all of the things that you lack that you're going to get from this other person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's
yeah.
just an assumption that, well, and look what a bargain you're getting. You know, you're getting all of my neediness, all
mm-hmm.
of my insecurity, all of my anxiety, and my loneliness, and you get to...
And don't you love me?
Yeah, you get to take care of all that. Well, that's a deal.
Well, you know, along with that insight of maybe this is not really what love is, what also fell in was another alternative, that maybe what really loving a person is just this experience that we were talking about a few weeks ago, that being in, literally in the experience of love, and just letting that emanate out where it will. You know, it just
yes.
goes where it will, like the
yes.
water flows where it will.
Yes.
And that I can really, that's one way that I can still love him without that neediness being,
oh, you can
I'm
love
immersing
the,
the
you
waters.
You can love the stew out of him if he never wanted to lay eyes on you again.
Yeah.
What he does with his life doesn't have any power at all to affect your love for him.
Yeah.
Which, again, is a foreign alien concept. No, why would you even want to love someone who didn't want to be in relationship with you?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want not to love them, for heaven's sake? Because that's just
yeah.
kind of a waste of love.
Because we got to ration it, you know.
That's right. Rather than, well, this is a fine human being, and, you know, I would like to be in relationship with him. Have a particular kind of relationship with him, but that doesn't seem to be what's happening. So, okay,
mm-hmm.
I can
yeah.
still love him.
Well, and the part of me that didn't have to see, that's what was so gratifying about that insight, was that it really soothed and consoled the part of me who just didn't want to stop loving. It's like, I don't want to move in that direction. I don't want to move to shrinking away and holding back. I don't want that kind of movement to be what I do or who I am.
Yes.
And so to learn that that's not required, in fact, it's not even at all necessary in the plan, was so reassuring.
Yeah, and to me, what you're closing in on, which is just an essential thing for us to explore as human beings. What is the difference between love, want, need?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I can't love someone because I want them, well, then we're not actually even talking about love, are we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it starts getting clear. You know, what if this is about me, and what if this is about him?
Yeah.
And, you know, when I start looking at it in that way, well, you know, if he doesn't want to be in relationship with me, then, you know, I just have to close my heart to him and not care what, really?
Yeah.
How does that follow? Well, because it's too painful for me. What is too painful? Loving him, that's actually not painful. Wanting him and not being able to have him? Yeah, okay, there. Now we're closing in on... But, you know, and I just want to keep saying, you know, you're not alone in this. This is... This is, you know, it's critical. It's essential and amazing that you're actually seeing all of this that we are not meant to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when we start breaking it down, you know, he's not that much different from the, you know, the new red convertible that I also want and can't.
I was about to say, I know how to do wanting and not being able to get it. I mean, I know how that feels, and that's not near as painful as when it was stop loving him, you know, when that was the message.
Yeah.
And what you said to the earlier caller about give to your, you know, your job one is to give it to yourself first. Give it to yourself first. Gosh, that's just going to be my mantra now for, you know, and because what the projection really is that I was just kind of scanning the room, always looking to try to connect with him, and that is just my red flag of connect with Rebecca. Just fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, get to the point where you don't even know that he's in the room. When you see him, it's just a delightful surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
oh, that sounds...
Yeah, yeah. And then,
go ahead.
Then you get to be in love.
Yeah.
You get to live in love. Rebecca lives in love.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody and everybody who wants to join you in love gets to do that. All they need to do is join in.
Yeah. Well, and there's a part of me that really latched onto that, and then you'll have to beat them away with a stick thing.
Right.
now we're back into the wanting, I think.
Right. Where is that stick? I'll risk it.
Well, thanks, Sherry. This is just great. It's so fun to be able to share these things that drop in and have them reverberate again and again, and I just love it. So
yeah.
Thanks much.
Oh, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next call. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa from Seattle.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Well, I have so much I wanted to talk to you about tonight, but... seems like we might be a little short on time. So, let's see. You know, you guys were talking about reflective listening buddies.
Uh-huh.
And, well, actually, I've never brought this up because it always seems like my experience is not what everybody else's experience is. I want to be a part of the program, and I've done it twice. But I took quite a break, and I haven't done it for a while because... when I get around to doing the call, I get really anxious, and I feel like I don't remember what the other person is saying, so I have to I take notes while I'm doing it, and I know that that's not the idea, but I feel like I can't remember.
Uh-huh.
And then conditioning gets me into this big confusion thing, so I don't usually know what to say when it's my turn.
Okay.
So, any thoughts?
Yep. You know that that's a big old scam?
Yep.
To get you to stop doing it.
And it, well, it worked, but I want to get back into it.
Yeah. And so here's my encouragement. The, you know, Sangha is just the most fabulous of all refuges. And so what's possible to do is contact the folks at the program and say, this is what's going on with me. Could you partner me with somebody who's really experienced so that I can be honest about what's going on with me and they don't have real high expectations about my expertise?
Well, there's a good idea.
Uh-huh.
See, I knew you'd come up with something.
Well, you know, it's simple, except that we're so conditioned that you can't say what's going on, you can't ask for what you need, you can't have what you need in the first place, so why even ask for it? And once we step clear of that, you know, when we really do get it, that Sangha is a refuge, then we can just put it out there, knowing that whatever comes back to us is going to be a good thing for us to practice with. So you might put that out there, and somebody says, well, you know, just go ahead and do the best that you can do. Okay, well, then there you go. You know, and you say to your partner, okay, well, this I'll go first this time because I need to process the very process that we're doing here. And they reflect, and then you do the best that you can do, and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Good deal, huh?
Good deal. I'm going to sign up this quarter, and we won't let conditioning take that one away.
That's right. And you know that's all that's going on. It's just a way to keep you locked away with it, isolated in its nasty little world, and trying to make you feel bad. And just don't feel bad. Just that's, you know, that's the best weapon we have against conditioning. You know, if you feel bad, it wins. If you don't feel bad, it loses. So say no, I'm not going to feel bad. I've got whatever.
No, yeah.
Yeah. I am as I am, as Popeye said.
Well, I've been getting that. Yeah, that was Popeye.
Yeah.
I've been getting that, the whatever down pretty well.
Oh, good.
You know, when I hear the voices and they're telling me something that's completely not valuable, which, of course, is always.
Uh-huh.
I've been doing pretty good with the whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
whatever.
Channel that inner teenager. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Right.
Yeah, I can just channel my 10-year-old, who really is getting that down pretty well.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just such total disinterest in one word.
Yeah. In one look.
In one look, yeah. One eyebrow.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I know there's other people in the queue. Thank you so much, Sherry.
Thank you, Lisa.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have about a minute left and one more caller. Would you like to be brief, or should we invite them back to the
we'll just get a sense of it, and then we'll make a plan for next week.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Melissa from San Francisco.
Hey, Melissa.
How are you?
Good. You? We have about 45 seconds.
Okay.
Shall we?
Shall we? I guess what I'm really calling about is I keep getting to the same place with every piece of content.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that's a good thing. And,
yeah. Where do you get to?
Is this sort of little person who just wants to be told what to do? Like she's just, when it comes to making a schedule or money or relation, anything, she's always looking around for the right way to do it. Like, there's got to be a right way to do it, and if she does it that way, then it's all going to be okay.
And are you able to get to a mentoring place with her? Or is she just stuck in the doing it right?
Sometimes I can get there, but I guess what's coming up is this feeling of when she's there, of not being able to step up, that I have the answers. It almost feels like I've lived with that. I'm having a hard time discerning what's the judge and what's conditioning.
Uh-huh.
There's just so much going on that it seems like that little girl is so comfortable with being told what to do that it's hard to
Let me ask you this,
trust.
Though. Afterwards, does she say, okay, or is somebody else watching to see whether it went well?
There's always somebody watching.
And if it goes badly, what happens? In other words,
she
I tell you, put all of your money in Enron, and, you know, she's happy because she did that, and then we know what happened there. Would there be fallout? Would somebody beat her up or beat you up? Or?
Yeah, I think what happens mostly, she just gets completely tangled.
Gets completely
There's so
what?
Many different She just gets tangled. Like, there's so much input coming in on different ways to do everything. She doesn't know which one to take or which one's the right one.
I see. Okay. All right. I'm getting
in the money class, it's kind of a thing where she's often she'll be really – someone's really excited to buy something, and then a voice comes in like, you shouldn't buy that for yourself. And then she's like, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. And then a voice comes in like, well, sometimes it's okay to buy things for yourself. And she's kind of standing there
okay.
as this conversation is ping-ponging.
Okay. All right. Then I know your assignment.
Okay.
It is to focus on the mentor. Do you have a copy of Making a Change for Good?
Yes.
Okay. I think there's a good section on the mentor in there.
Okay.
Is there? I think. Somebody will tell me afterwards. But anyway, that's going to be the secret. Have you ever done the dominant, non-dominant hand writing?
Yes.
Okay, then that's it. So the little girl from now on, for the next, you know, week or 2 weeks or something, every time this kind of thing comes up, let her, are you right-handed or left-handed?
Right-handed.
Okay, so give her the pen in her left hand and have the, give her the pen in your left hand and then see if you can get the mentor to be in conversation with her. Now, you got to be
okay.
careful about who gets that right hand, right? Because it can be
yeah.
anybody. But you're going to know. You'll know whether it's coming from a centered place or whether conditioning has grabbed the pen.
Will I? That's the issue.
Yes, you will. If it's kind and compassionate and understanding and wise, it's center or the mentor. Okay. If it's
okay.
hateful and designed to make you feel bad and put you right in a ditch, it's conditioning.
Okay. And the judge is different from conditioning or no?
I would just lump them all in together for right now. Not
okay.
the same as self-hate, but those two are close enough. You know, self-hate is just that next step into viciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once the
little
girl's
dead.
It's
more a critic that I get. Like, you shouldn't
yeah.
do that. And
no.
That's not the right way.
That's great. I'll just lump those all together.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And then you'll let me know.
I will.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Michael. Bye.
You're welcome.
I bet we went overtime, but we did good, didn't we?
We did great.
All right.
We do great.
We do great. All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, and thanks to all of our callers and all of our many listeners and everyone who makes this possible.
Mm-hmm. Deep gusho.
Deep gusho.
All right. Talk to you soon, Michael.
Talk to you soon.
Good night.
Good night.